Recall, Rav Soloveitchik wants to explain that the mitzvah of Avodas Hashem on page Yud is an integration of both Torah and Tefillah into one entity. In fact, you'll see on the second line, he says that before one davens, he needs a matir, he needs something to allow him to daven. And in this case, his Torah study allows him to daven. And that's why the principle is Ein Omdim Lispalel Elo Mitoch Divrei Torah. You recall that? That was the Gemara in Brachos. So when we start this entity with Torah, and then we continue with Tefillah.
Can I give an extra copy?
Now, if you recall, based on the sugya in Brachos, we decided that, and this is on page Dalid, we decided that if you have a choice where to daven, then according to the statement of Rav Chisda, you should choose between a Beis Medrash and a Beis Knesset. Which one should you choose? Beis Medrash, right. You choose the Beis Medrash. And why is that so? After all, the Beis Medrash is dedicated to Talmud Torah. Why does that take any precedence, any preference over a Beit Knesset, which is dedicated to prayer? You would think that let's pray in a place that's designated for prayer. And the answer is because the Beis Medrash is not just dedicated to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, it's dedicated to the mitzvah of Avodas Hashem. And Avodas Hashem requires two things. It requires Torah and Tefillah. And if you remember the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvahs, the Mitzvah Hey combines Torah and Tefillah together under this entity called Vavadetem Es Hashem Elokeichem. So therefore, when I designate a place for the study of Torah, it doesn't mean that I'm limited to the study of Torah, but rather it encompasses not just the study of Torah, but Avodas Hashem in its full sense, which entails also Tefillah. And therefore, Nimtza, this is on page Yud, Ki Beis HaMedrash Miyuad Lorak LeTorah, Ki Im Gam LaVodah SheBelev Klolis, the general mitzvah, all-encompassing of serving God with one's heart, Hamakifa, which encompasses within it Torah and Tefillah together. So therefore the sanctity of a Beis Medrash is that much greater than that of a Beis HaKnesses, because a Beis HaKnesses is only designated for the study, for prayer, whereas a Beis Medrash is dedicated not just for prayer, for study, but also for Avodas Hashem, which includes both Torah and Tefillah. Therefore, we have two halachos with regard to integrating Torah and Tefillah. The first halacha is that Tefillah in a Beis Medrash is superior to Tefillah in a Beis Knesses, because this place called the Beis Medrash is dedicated not only to the mitzvah of Torah study, but also to the mitzvah of Tefillah as well. So the haktsa'ah, the hakdasha, is that much greater. And secondly, not only should one pray in a Beis Medrash, but beyond that, he should pray in a place where he himself learns Torah. It's not just enough that others learn Torah there, and it's designated for the public study of Torah. But where do you daven? Where do you study Torah? That's where you should daven. And the Rav knows this from the Gemara of Abaye that we quoted before in Brachas Daf Ches. Abai declares that originally he used to learn at home in one place, and then he used to daven in another place. But once he heard the statement of Rav Chisda, then he decided he would not pray except in the place where he himself studies, his own personal study. And that's what the Gemara says, Rav Ami v'Rav Asi lo matzlu ele b'nei amuda heichad avigirsa. They would be careful to pray in the place where they themselves studied. And the Rav asks, what's the deal here? Why is there such an emphasis on the place where this person who prays, he himself learns? Why isn't it enough to say that the Kedushas Beis HaMedrash is that much greater than the Kedushas Beis HaKnesses, and that itself warrants davening in a Beis HaMedrash? The Rav is medayik, he reads this meticulously into the words of the Rambam. In Perek Ches Milchus Tefillah, the Rambam says, Beis Medrash Gadol mi Beis HaKnesses. And he says, the Chachamim Gedolim, Afal Pisha Hoylehem Be'iram Batei Knesios Harbe. There were many choices for synagogues. Nevertheless, lo yu mispalim el b'makom shahayu oskim sham b'Torah. In other words, in the place where they themselves were involved in the study of Torah. Why? If it's only the first halacha, namely the Kedushas Beis HaMedrash, which we said has a greater Kedusha, and so far it encompasses both, why can't I go just to the public Beis HaMedrash? Why do I have to go to my own private Beis HaMedrash where I learn? But now we begin to understand it. Because if the goal here is to integrate these two dimensions of Avodah Shebelev, namely both Torah and Tefillah, how do I integrate that into my own kiyum, my own personal fulfillment of that mitzvah? When I integrate my Torah with my Tefillah, that becomes one entity of Avodah Shebelev, which encompasses both Torah and Tefillah. Because if I am davening in this place, and I am learning in this place, so I do both, then as far as my fulfillment, my implementation of Avodah Shebelev, I'm integrating both Torah and Tefillah. So it's not enough that I go to a Beis Medrash. That's one level, and I certainly obtain one kiyum. But if I want to obtain the perfect kiyum, then I'll daven in the place where I myself learn. And now, in the last paragraph on page Yud, the Rav comes full swing back to the beginning of this drasha, of this shir, namely Birchas HaTorah. You recall that the Gemara in Brachos establishes that on a daily basis, I have an obligation to study Torah and recite the Brachos. What is the purpose and the goal of this mitzvah, of this obligation of accompanying Limud Torah with Brachos? And the answer is the kiyum of Avodah Shebelev as one entity of Torah and Tefillah. We are obligated to study Torah on a daily basis and to recite the brachos at that time. And by reciting the brachos, we add the dimension of Tefillah to our Limud Torah. And if you take a look on the fifth line down, the Rav says, what aspects of Tefillah? Shevach u'bakasha. Because if you really study the Birchas HaTorah carefully, you will see that there are two different motifs to the Birchas HaTorah. On the one end, there's Shevach. We speak about the fact that God has chosen us and has given us the Torah. And number two, there's Bakasha. Varevna Hashem Elokeinu es Divrei Torascho Befinu V'ni Anachnu V'Tzetzeinu, etc. It's full of Bakasha. And we said that these two elements really define what Tefillah is all about. Tefillah is Shevach and Bakasha. So how do we integrate that kiyum of Tefillah together with Talmud Torah? By reciting these brachos. And therefore, on a daily basis, we're obligated to integrate Tefillah and Torah through Birchas HaTorah and Limut. We study Torah and we recite the brachos. That's the nature of Birchas HaTorah. It's to convert our Limud Torah and upgrade it to the level of Kiyum Avoda Shebelev. And now the Rav says, if you read the Rambam carefully in Hilchos Tefillah Perek Zayin, you'll see that the Rambam says, B'chol Yom, Chayav Adam Levarech Shalosh Brachos Elu, V'acher Kach Korei Mi'at Mi'Divrei Torah. And the Rambam offers another number of different customs as to what Torah you should study on a daily basis following the brachos. Some of the minig of reciting Birchas Kohanim. Others have a minig of reciting Karbonos. Others recite a Mishnah or a Braisa. And then at the end of this halacha, he mentions Psuke de Zimra. He says the Rambam, it's two lines up before the end of the page, V'shimchu chachamim l'misha korei zmiros misefer te'ilim b'chol yom v'yom. This is what we call Psuke de Zimra. What's the Rambam doing over here? Why is he combining in one halacha the mitzvah of Birchas HaTorah, which is derived, thank you, from Kishem Hashem Ekra, and the recitation of Zmiros Misefer Tehillim? They don't seem to be connected at all. He's dealing it with Talmud Torah, and then he jumps over to Psuke de Zimra. The answer is that both Talmud Torah, with its brachos, and Psuke de Zimra, both serve the exact same function. They both prepare the way for Tefillah. because it's not enough to get up and daven. As we said many times, we need a matir, and the matir for davening is Talmud Torah. So whether it's Talmud Torah in the form of a limud haTorah every day before davening, or it's Psukei Dezimra, which is also Talmud Torah and has the additional element of being Shevach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, those two form a unit of a matir to pave the way for tefillah. So if you take a look at the second line on the top of page Yud Aleph, HaPsukim VaBrachos Shekorei B'chol Yom. In other words, as far as the Limud Talmud Torah is concerned, you learn a little Torah and you accompany it with brachos. Mishamshin, they serve the goal of petach. What's a petach? A threshold, a prologue, litfila. Val yodam miskayemes halacha shalein omdim lispalal mitoch divrei Torah. Which means that you need the divrei Torah in order to set up tefila. Without the divrei Torah, you have no right to be mispalel. And the Rav points out that the Rambam's Nusach HaTfilah, which is published at the end of Sefer Ava, he mentions the various other possibilities of what we should learn after we recite Birchas HaTorah, whether it's the Mishnah in Peah, El Dvarim She'elam Shir, whether it's the Halacha Nida of Benos Yisrael. These are all what we call Halacha Psuka. And the Rambam is basically copying this from the Gemara in Ein Omdim, which is the Mishnah that we started with, Ein Omdim L'spal El Mitok Divrei Torah. Omnami says, Zehur Kak Mitakonis Chazal. As far as which particular parts of Torah we should learn, that's already a Takana. But this concept itself, that we have to begin our Avodah with Torah and then continue with Tefillah to form one entity, that itself is a Torah idea. Hudvar Torah, it's not a rabbinic institution. And therefore, in the next paragraph, quoting the Rambam, Amashkim Likro B'Torah, Kodem Sheyikra Kriyat Shema, when a person wakes up and he wants to learn Torah, and before he reads Kriyat Shema, he needs to do a few things. First, he has to be Notel Yodav, and then he makes the three brachos, and then he reads Torah. So the Rav asks, what's Netilas Yadayim doing here? The Rambam here is not giving us a Seder Ayom, you know, this is what you should do, step by step by step. He's paskening halachas here. And if his hands are not clean, he has to wash his hands. If his hands are clean, he doesn't have to wash his hands. The Rav says, I understand the Gemara in Brachos. The Gemara in Brachos goes through an Edus that tells us exactly what Rav Chiya Bar Ashi did when he woke up in the morning. And first he was Mashe Yoda, he first washed his hands, and then he recited the brachas, and then he learnt a little bit. Fine. That's because the Gemara is giving a testimony to what one of the great Amoraim did on a daily basis. But the Rambam didn't have to mention Netilas Yadayim. What's it doing here? So the Rav said, where is this halach of Netilas Yadayim rooted in? Where does it come from? Where does it originate from? It's halach in Hilchas Tefillah. You'll see in the next paragraph, Perek Dalet Milchas Tefillah Halacha Beis. It's the bottom paragraph on page Yud Aleph. Taras Hayadayim Ketzad. One of the various conditions, the prerequisites for davening for Tefillah, is Taras Yadayim. And the Rambam says that you have to wash your hands with water up until the Perek, until the wrist, and then you can daven. So this is where the Rambam establishes that Netilas Yadayim is a halach in tefillah. It's a prerequisite for tefillah. Now, since the Rambam here in Birchas HaTorah is defining Birchas HaTorah as an introduction to tefillah, meaning to the Avodah Shebelev that combines both tefillah and Torah, therefore he has to begin when he wakes up with the process of Netilas Yadayim. This is all part of tefillah. The halacha of tefillah that generates a chiyuv, a requirement of Netilas Yadayim, applies to Birchas HaTorah with Limud HaTorah, insofar as that too is part and parcel of the mitzvah of tefillah of Avodah Shebelev. And I underlined it. I said, Kevan de'ika chibur miyuchad shel Torah tefillah, since there is a unique integration of Torah and tefillah, and divrei Torah have to come first to be matir tefillah, and to be integrated together with the tefillin form this entity of avodah shebalev. Therefore, at the time of Torah, you have to find a gavra, a person who's royal at tefillah. If he's not suited for davening, then you cannot integrate his Talmud Torah into tefillah. So this is fascinating because it means in the morning when you wash your hands before Birchas HaTorah, it plays a role in allowing, in setting up the possibility of reciting Birchas HaTorah, because the Birchas HaTorah together with the Torah that you study afterwards is an introduction to tefillah. And insofar as it's an introduction to tefillah, you need to be ro'ui lispalel before you recite Birchas HaTorah and before you learn some Torah. If he would recite Birchas HaTorah before he washed his hands, then in his situation, he doesn't have the possibility of davening because he needs Netilas Yadayim in order to set up his tefillah. And now we get to the last section of this essay, of this Yahrzeit Shiur. And
what page?
This is on page Yud Beis, and here the Rav addresses the purpose and the goal of the third chapter of Hilchas Talmud Torah. This chapter of Hilchas Talmud Torah is known by the name Keser Torah, because the Rambam begins this perek by describing the three crowns that the Jewish people were crowned with. That means the crown of Malchus, the crown of Kahuna, and the crown of Torah. And then the Rambam goes on to say that the crown of Torah is even greater than the other two crowns. That's Perek Gimel Halacha Aleph. At the very end of Perek Gimel, in Halacha Yud Gimel, the Rambam gives a dramatic exposition about the significance of learning Torah at night. Afal Pisha Mitzvah Lilmo B'yomu B'layla, even though the mitzvah is to study Torah both by day and by night, Ein Adam Lo Meid Rov Chachmaso El B'layla. Person achieves most of his chachma at night. Lefichach. Now here's where the last halacha, the 13th halacha, links us back to the first halacha. Therefore, Misha Rotza Lizkos Bekesa Torah, Yizar B'cholai Losav. He shouldn't lose one single night wasted away idly with sleep and with eating and drinking. I always started with eating and drinking and then gone to sleeping, because usually after eat and drink, that's when you fall asleep. Vesicha. And you start idle chatter, and the Rambam goes on and on in a very dramatic way.
Is that based on the Gemara?
This is not necessarily based on a Gemara. You know, the Rambam was great at integrating many different sources together, and this is a perfect example. I mean, this is a really unique combination of many, many different sources. And now the Rav is going to ask four questions, the fear kashas. Question number one. What does the Rama mean when he says that Ein Adam Lo Meid Rov Chachmas El V'Layla? Okay, I understand that there's some special school of power to studying Torah at night. But at the surface of it, it sounds like what the Rama is saying is that if you have a choice between two possibilities, one is to study Torah at night and the other is to study Torah by day, then the study of Torah at night should take precedence. That's not so. We never found such halacha anywhere. In fact, the Torah says, I mean, it's a pasuk in Tanakh, V'gisabo yomav alayla. There's no difference between yomav and layla. So if the Rambam is correct that a person learns Rov Chachmasim alayla, meaning the Iker Mitzvah of Talmud Torah is by night, then should one forfeit his possibility of learning by day in order to do the night shift? Is that what the Rambam is advocating? We never encountered such halacha. And then number two, what does it mean that the Rambam says Rov Chachmasu he achieves balayla? I don't get it. The volume of Torah that you study is not a reflection of day or night. It's a reflection of yegia b'Torah. A person can be yegia b'Torah and work in a very dedicated way, energetically by day, just as by night. So if a person dedicates his day, his daytime hours, to learn Torah be giyah atzuma. So what are you saying? He's not going to accumulate a vast amount of knowledge, of volumes and volumes of knowledge. Yogata v'lo matzas al tamid. Talmud Torah is always part of Avodas Hashem. And when it comes to Avodas Hashem, hakol bidei shamayim, chutz miyir shamayim, a person has to do his best in order to achieve whatever he can. So let him put his front foot forward. And it doesn't matter whether he learns Torah by day or by night. Thirdly, the Rav asks, is a very interesting Reisha and Sefer here in the Rambam. In the Reisha, the Rambam is talking about Rav Chachmasa. And that has to do with how much Torah you know, and how much knowledge of Torah you can acquire. And then the Rambam goes on to speak about Kesed Torah. And he gives us this whole speech about if you want to possess or acquire Kesed Torah, here's what you have to do, says the Rambam. You have to be very careful with every single night not to waste a single one of them. What does this have to do with anything? I mean, he's talking about Yediyas HaTorah, accumulating Torah knowledge. What does this have to do with Kesed Torah? And then the fourth question, which is really an extension of the third, what is Kesed Torah? I mean, the Rambam dedicates almost this whole chapter to Kesed Torah. What is it all about? Now, if you look in Perek Aleph Milchus Talmud Torah, the Rambam says that every Jew is obligated in Talmud Torah on a daily basis, and he's got to set aside time for Torah both by day and by night. Shenemar v'gisabo yom v'layla. That's what the Rambam says in the beginning of Hilchus Talmud Torah, Perek Ches. Halacha Ches. Now, when you get to Perek Gimel, specifically Halacha Yud Gimel, the Rambam tells you that if you want to get Chachma, if you want to get knowledge of Torah, you've got to dedicate your nights to Torah study. And Rav Chachma, he gets at Lima Belaila. So why did the Rambam wait until the end of the third Perek? I mean, at the beginning, when he's talking about Yom and Laila, in Perek Aleph, that would have been the appropriate place to add this discussion about Limud Torah Belaila. And instead, when he gets to Kesed Torah, an entire chapter dedicated to this special crown of Torah, that's where he places this ability, this special quality of Torah Belaila to acquire Rov Chachmaso. It's very strange, very choppy. So again, let's just summarize quickly four kashas. Number one, where do we find that Limud Torah b'layla takes precedence over Limud Torah b'yom? Secondly, why can't a person learn Rov Chachmasa b'yom? It's all a reflection of his yegia, how much work he puts in Avodas Hashem. Thirdly, why does the Rambam begin when he discusses Layla with Rov Chachmasa, and then he automatically jumps over to Kesed Torah? What's the relationship between Rov Chachmaso and Kesed Torah? And finally, the last question is, the Rambam's discussion here about the significance of learning Torah at night should not have been placed at the end of Perek Gimel, but rather at the beginning of Perek Aleph, Halacha Ches, when he discusses the Gisa B'Yom V'Layla, the significance of learning Torah both by day and by night. So here the Rav says a very, very dramatic chiddush. What is Kesed Torah? So again, the Rav here is building himself on, you were asking for you, what source is the Avos Rav Nosson. You know, this is not something that you and I come across on a daily basis, but the Rambam had an amazing amount of sources in front of him. That I can tell you. It's just mind-boggling. I'd love to have seen the Rambam's library. Gimel Ksarim Heim. V'Elu Heim. Kesed Torah, Kesed Kuna, Kesed Malchus. Let's assume that this is the source for the Rambam's discussion at the beginning of Perek Gimel, Milchus Talmud Torah, of the three Ksarim. So the Rav wants to know, what is the common denominator that links Kahuna, Malchus, and Torah? Offhand, they're three different branches, and there's no logical connection to them. And yet they're all connected here by one concept, one word, Keser. What is it all about? So the Rav now goes into what seems at the surface to be a digression, but it's not a digression at all, a discussion about Shemen HaMishcha. The halacha requires that both a Kohen Gadol and a Melech have to be anointed with Shemen HaMishcha. What is the goal and the effect, the impact of Shem of Mishicha b'Shemen HaMishcha? It's Kiddush HaGavra. meaning you sanctify this individual as the Kohen Gadol with Kedushas Kuna, and you sanctify the Melech with Kedushas Malchus. And in both cases, the appointment has to be achieved, the Minui has to be achieved and implemented by Shemen HaMishcha. And the Mishicha B'Shemen HaMishcha, which constitutes a Minui, engenders a sanctity which is really an internal sanctity within a person. If you're following me, I'm at the bottom of Yud Beis. He calls it a Kedusha Pnimit HaMakrina Tiferet. In other words, it's an inner sanctity within the person, in his heart, in his essence, in his nefesh, but it exudes or reflects itself and radiates externally. And this Kedusha, once the person is sanctified with that sanctity, it arouses or intensifies, or increases his personal, shall I say, level or achievement in Kedusha. A Kohen Gadol, for example, as a result, and we're on the top of page Yud Gimel, of the sanctity of his guf through Mashicha, he acquires a sanctity which is called Kedushas Olam. That means it cannot be reversed, I think he means. And so too with the case of a Melech. Malchus, according to the Torah, is not just some sort of political appointment, like a job, but rather it generates a change in the person himself. The Rav calls it Shinui Mahuti Bagavra, a personal sanctity which transforms the individual. And as a result of that transformation, that individual experiences what the Rav calls Harchavas Hadas Vahashroas Haruach. These are all very, what should I say, poetic liturgical terms that mean some sort of connection to a broader scope of spirituality that encompasses the Shechina and the Ruach HaKodesh from Lamala. So, in halachic terms, we can define the act of appointing a Kohen Gadol or a Melech through Mashicha B'Shemen HaMishcha as sanctification, as Kiddush, the act of Kiddush. And here the Rav quotes a number of various psukim in Tanakh that indicate that, for example, in the case of Mashichas Shaul LeMelech, that there was a Ruach Hashem that somehow descended upon or enveloped Shaul after his appointment. And the Torah itself, the Tanakh itself says, V'nefachta li'ish acher. It's a transformation of the person. In the case of Malchus, we have Shaul HaMelech. And Kahuna is related also to a divine revelation and a divine sanctity. In fact, if you take a look at the Rambam in Perek Zayin Milchus Yisodi HaTorah, when he describes Nevuah, in this case the special, unique Nevuah of those Nevi'im that reach the level which the Rambam describes as Shetanuach Alav Ruach, V'tis'arev Nafsho B'malas HaMalochim. This is an unbelievable madriga, where a person's soul somehow climbs, ascends to the level of the spiritual, of the angels on high, the celestial beings, which are called Ishim. And the Rambam says, Vayehofach li'ish acher, he is completely transformed. V'yovin bedato, and now he understands, she'eno kibo shahoya, that he's not the same as he was before, but rather he ascends to a very high level, al maila shar b'nei adam, greater than other individuals who are even chachamim. And once again, the quote from a pasuk in Tanakh, as we saw before, the Rambam quotes here the pasuk by Shaul HaMelech v'nefachto li'ish acher. What is the motif here that links together both Kahuna and Malchus? And the answer is, V'nefachto li'ish acher. a total transformation of the personality of the individual. The Rambam combines the service of a Kohen Gadol, particularly in the case of Urim V'Tumim, what's called She'ela B'Urim V'Tumim, with Nevuah, with the prophecy of a prophet. I saw this also in the Ramban 2 weeks ago on in his Pirush Al Torah, that when the Kohen Gadol asks a question and he gets an answer from the Urim V'Tumim, he has a Ruach HaKodesh through the Osios of the Urim and the Tumim. And the Rambam writes, this is in Hilchus Klei Migdash Perk Yud, Umiyad Ruach HaKodesh Loveshes HaKohen. It's unbelievable. The Rambam talks about the Kohen seeing a prophetic vision at the time of the Urim V'Tumim. And of course, in Bayis Sheni, there was no Urim V'Tumim, says the Rambam, because there was no Ruach HaKodesh. So the Kohen Gadol couldn't reach that level that he had to reach in order to communicate with God through the Urim V'Tumim. Now, we started with the Avos D'Rav Nosson that combines three different ksarim, one of Kohuna, one of Malchus, and one of Torah. Says the Rav, what is this concept of Kohuna? And the answer is, it's a transformation of the individual. That's what a Kesser indicates. He's changed. He's elevated. He ascends up to a different level. So that's what Kesser means. It means some sort of new power or strength that transforms the individual. Aliyas HaGavra, Kiddush HaGavra. If this be the case, then the same should apply to Kesser Torah, which is the third of the three Ksarim. Torah purifies the individual who studies it, sanctifies him, and bestows upon him a Leviyas Chen, some sort of a spiritual, almost Ruach HaKodesh that radiates from his face. And once again, the Rambam, the Rav quotes these Psukim in Tanakh to dramatize his point. He says, through the study of Torah, a person acquires not just knowledge and wisdom, but also sanctity and purity on a personal level. And as a result of the transformation of his personality through the cathartic experience of studying Torah, gasus ruach ne'lemes, any sort of haughtiness is completely gone, it dissipates. Adinus yoreshes es makoma, instead a sensitivity of the soul substitutes for what was gasus. Shitrius, superficiality, cholefes, disappears. And in its place, amkus hamachshava, the ability to think profoundly and deeply, machlifasa, replaces it. And therefore, as a result of studying of Torah, what we encounter here is a change in the gavra, in the student who studies Torah, a new personality that emerges, and this spiritual power that penetrates into the heart and soul of the Torah student, now broadens his mind and his spiritual powers and his moral powers, and now he becomes throned with I don't know what word to use. Not throned is not the good word, but he becomes crowned, I guess you'd say, with the crown of Torah. No difference then. A melech is crowned with the crown of Malchus, or a Kohen Gadol with the crown of Kohuna. And therefore, there are three ksarim that Yisrael have a shot at. Of course, if you're not born into Sheva Kohuna, you don't have much of a shot at the crown of Kohuna. And if you're not a Ben David HaMelech, then you don't have that much of a shot for Malchus. I mean, I'm oversimplifying it. But as far as Kesed Torah is concerned, Munach V'Omed Kol Mishiyom V'Yirtze Yizkebo, anyone could possess and acquire this level called Kesed Torah. And the paradox of it is that even though the other two Ksarim of Kohuna and Malchus are specially limited for those very circumscribed groups, so you would expect that would make it so esoteric. And, you know, you have to be such a special person to be Zoch. Those Ksarim are no doubt superior to Kesed Torah, But the answer is just the reverse. And the Rambam quotes the pasuk, "Bi melachim yimlochu," that all of the kings are crowned through "bi." "Bi" refers to the Torah itself. The Torah is the source of all three crowns, of all three kiddushim, and the greatest of all three is the Kesed Torah.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, please.
Keter Torah, you need to work your whole life to get the Keter Torah, every night, every day. It seems unfair, Keter Malchut and Kahuna, all you need to do, like, pour a little oil, and is that, like, seems very different.
Yeah, but usually the greatest of the three, I mean, if you want to, if you want to climb Mount Everest, you know, it's a little bit harder than climbing. So if you really want to get to the apex, which is the source and the origin of all kedushos, it's not an easy task. I don't think anyone who misleads you, obviously, to tell you that, oh yeah, you know, you'd learn a couple of nights here and there, and you're a great scholar, and
no, but
you're,
that's what I'm saying. The Kohen Gadol and the Melech, it seems like they become Isha Acher without really. It's just overnight, like they don't have to do anything.
Okay, but I'm saying it's commensurate to the level of Kedusha. Even a Kohen Gadol, to the extent in which he's like a Navi, you remember the Rambam in Hilchos Klei Migdosh compares the Kohen Gadol to a Navi in some sense. You know, you don't just become a Kohen Gadol overnight. You know, first of all, there's a process by which you're chosen. You have to be the greatest of all the Kohanim at that time. You know, it's a whole to-do. A melech also. It doesn't just mean he's born into Malchus. The Rambam says if he's not royal a Malchus, then even if he comes from the Davidic lineage, we don't appoint him as a melech. So I wouldn't say that it's just that easy to snap your fingers and get these crowns, but certainly I agree with you 1,000%. There's not even comparing the amount of work that you have to do to achieve Kesed Torah. But the bottom line in this shir that the Rav is saying here is that Kesed Torah is Kiddush HaGavra. Elsewhere in a different Yahrzeit shir, the Rav says that the reason why we make two brachos on Birchas HaTorah, one is not sufficient, is because the bracha of Lasok B'Divrei Torah, the Rav says, is on the act of learning, the intellectual act. That's the Maisa Mitzvah. But in the case of Arevna, the Rav says, that's a bracha that we recite on Kiddush HaGavra, on the transformation of the personality through the study of Torah. And that's why we end that bracha right before the Chasima with the word Lishma, because if you take a look at the Mishnah in Avos, it says the Ahalomei Torah Lishma Zochel Dvarim Harbe Nikra Ono Vareya V'Yedid Malbashto Anova V'Yira V'Nena Mimenu Tu Chochma V'Toshi. I mean, all the great adjectives that describe the level of a Talmud Chacham, that's only that's conditional on his Lomei Torah Lishma. And it's interesting that the Rav compares it to Tefillin. He claims that there are two brachas on Tefillin. One bracha is on the Maisa Mitzvah, which is La'aniach, and that bracha should have sufficed for both tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel rosh. But the Rav says there's another bracha, al mitzvah tefillin, which is
one.
Right, for those who say two brachas. That bracha was formulated on the Kiddush HaGavra of tefillin. So the Rav has this concept of Kiddush HaGavra, as far as Talmud Torah is concerned, here and elsewhere. And hopefully, you know, as we turn the page, we're going to get a feeling for how this puts together the various pieces of the puzzle of Perek Gimel Mehilchas Talmud Torah, namely the Perek that's dedicated to Kesed Torah, and specifically the Halacha of Limud Torah Balayla. Now that we've broken ice here, and we see that Kesed Torah means Kiddush HaGavra, maybe we can move forward and get a grasp of what the significance of Limud Torah Balayla is. But only with your permission, I mean. Oh, okay.
I just want to make an insight onto the Shemina Mishka itself. So the Shemina Mishka, to me, it seems like the two other Ksarim, you're permeating from the outside in. Because it's something where we're looking from the outside, it's the people, we're appointing the person, you know, giving the person kavod, and the Shemina Mishka is going from the outside in, we're anointing him, and that's like a physical Maisa, whereas the Kesed Torah is the exact opposite, and that's why it doesn't necessarily require the Shemina Mishka.
Because it comes from the inside.
Exactly,
oh,
inside
wow.
out.
Hey, Shmuel, I didn't know you were such a darshan. Did you ever think going into Rabbonis?
Does that make
I see
sense?
You have a real darshanistic of mind.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think it makes a lot of sense. Again, I wear two hats, and right now I'm not wearing the drosha hat, so I'm not really focused on what you're saying.
It sounds
very good. I like inside and outside.
Because what ends up happening is that it's similar, like in terms of the levels. We're going.
Okay, Shmuel, I heard what you're saying. I think you should quit while you're ahead. I mean, right now you said something very good. I'm just afraid that if you go too far, I might, drop the ball here and tell you you're not saying anything. But right now it sounds like you're saying something very good. And I think you should write it up for Toronto Torah. Okay, let's see now. I'm very anxious, as you can see, to really see, now that the Rav has broken ground, if he's going to help us put the pieces together. He says the following. This principle would also be reflected in the Matbea. He's talking now about Birchas HaShachar, because we start with Shaloh Asani Goy. Others have Shaloh Asani Nochri, whichever your Nusach is. And this bracha relates to the fact that Klal Yisrael were chosen amongst the nations. And yet, the halacha is that if he doesn't say Shaloh Asani Goy, if he says Shasani Yisrael, okay, this is Magid Avram, and he quotes in the footnote here, Yuyotzi Yidei Chovos. So the Rav wants to understand, if you've already thanked Hashem for the choice of Klal Yisrael, then why do you add the bracha of Birchas HaTorah Shabbach HaBonim Kol Amim? What does that add to the bracha that you've already recited? I mean, again, it doesn't matter the sequence, but there seems to be a kfeilut here. And why do we need both brachos? Now, I would have answered the following. I mean, again, the Rav has his unique approach, but I thought that there are two dimensions of Bechiras Klal Yisrael. I thought that one dimension of Bechiras Klal Yisrael represents the purpose of Klal Yisrael. They're being chosen as Mamleches Kohanim, Vegoy Kadosh. They're the Am Hashem. They're meant to spread the word of morality and the word of divinity. And the other, in the case of Birchas HaTorah, that's for the specific mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Because mitzvahs Talmud Torah, Shkula Keneged Kol Mitzvahs, and we have to thank Hashem for that Avdolah Mikol Amim that He chose us and separated us. But the Rav has a different approach entirely. He says the following, that in the choice of Klal Yisrael, there were really two different Bechiros, two different choices. He says, first of all, it's the Avos. We always have to go back to our forefathers. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them a promise that Lizaracha, there'll be a bris with all your descendants, and that's the choice of Klal Yisrael through the Aviyah HaUmos, through the Avos. And number two, there's something that took place much later on in history, and that is what took place at Har Sinai. And there was a choice of Klal Yisrael, Atem Tiyuli Skula Mikol Amim, and that happened when the people accepted the Tariag Mitzvahs. So the Rav explains the following. When we say every morning, Shasani Yisrael, or Shaloh Asani Goy, what we're referring to is the first dimension of the choice of the Avos. However, when we get to Birchas HaTorah, we're thanking God for something beyond the choice of the Avos. And that is the second Bechira, which is connected to every single Jew being chosen at the time of Matan Torah, and is a reflection of the Kedushas HaTorah. The fact that Knesset Yisrael, in their very identity, are linked to the Torah itself. And the elevation and the level of Klal Yisrael in comparison to the other nations as a Kiddush HaGavra, as a special sanctification, is a result of the study of Torah. So since I'm about to embark on Torah study, and I will be sanctified by the Torah study, I'd be uplifted. Therefore, I have to recognize with a deep sense of gratitude that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has chosen me, and this is a personal kind of choice, through my Kabbalah and my commitment and my study of Torah, to be able to have the opportunity to reach this higher level of Bechira of what's called Keser Torah. That I myself have a shot Again, I'm not saying meal it's easy, but I have the opportunity of being zocher to Kesed Torah. What is Kesed Torah? And again, the Rav repeats himself. This is the propensity or the possibility, the potential of man, or maybe the word is capacity, the capacity of man to sanctify himself and purify his nefesh, his soul, his very essence. And what is Bechira? What does it mean that God chose me? It means that I have a certain quality that's unique, that's singular, a certain sanctity within my very personality, my very soul. And that makes Klal Yisrael, through the act of Limud HaTorah, which sanctifies the person, the chosen people. So Talmud Torah adds an entirely different dimension to Bechira, and therefore we recite a special bracha, Asher Bachar Banu Mikol Amim, because that Kiddush that makes us worthy of the name Bechira. And therefore, there aren't many Kiddushos. However, there's Kiddushas Yisrael on different levels. And therefore, what we call Keser Kuna, Keser Malchus, is really in essence that higher level of Kedushas Yisrael, different levels of climbing the ladder of ascending the ladder of sanctity, which is Knesset Yisrael. We don't view Kahuna and Malchus as independent sanctities, but rather as different levels as we climb up the ladder of Kedushas Yisrael, the sanctity of Israel. When the Pasuk says, "Va'atem tiyu li mamleches kohanim v'goy kadosh," we should take apart this Pasuk and smash it into three different parts. First, mamleches. Mamleches is a reflection of that Kedusha which we call Malchus. And then we have kohanim, because it says mamleches kohanim. And finally, goy kadosh. Goy kadosh refers to Kedushas HaTorah, the Kiddush HaGavra through the study of Torah. However, you should know, says the Rav, that the fundamental, the foundation, I would say, of all the Kiddushos is Kesed Torah. All Kiddushos nourish or emanate from Kiddushas HaTorah. And therefore, the Kesed Torah really represents the ultimate essence of what Bechira is all about. Because if we identify Bechira with Kedusha, with the sanctity of the individual, then Kesed Torah is superior to Kedusha, to Kahuna Malchus, because this level of Kedusha is the heart and the source from which all Kedushas emanate. And therefore, Kesed Torah is that great. Oh. Now, finally, the Rav comes back to pay up his dues. What is unique about studying Torah at night? And you asked before you, what is the source for the Rambam? And again, it's not really Shas in this case. It's a Yalkut, it's a Medrash. But as I told you, the more and more we study the Rambam, the more we realize that he's combining so many different sources. It's just dazzling. And I know you know I'm a Rambam fan, but when it comes to the ability of the Rambam to integrate sources and then organize them, and then his beautiful Hebrew language to meticulously present them and formulate them, it's really quite amazing. It's a breathtaking experience to learn the Rambam. So the Yalkut says the following. On the Pasuk in Mishlei, which we happen to sing on Friday night, it says, "Vatakam bi'od laila." And here we have a sort of machlokes, if you will, between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish as to how to interpret this Pasuk. According to Rabbi Yochanan, what we learn from this pasuk is Ein Rina Shel Torah Ella Balaila. In other words, Vatakam Balaila, we spoke about this at great length last time, is referring to the Rina Shel Torah. Like Shivchi Kamayim Libech, you remember that pasuk? Also someone who cries in the middle of the night. Reish Lakish Omar Bayom Ubalaila. Reish Lakish is unwilling to accept Rabbi Yochanan's position that Rina Shel Torah, that special unique feature of Torah study, is limited to Laila. The Rav has a chap over here. This is a very big chiddush. He says that there's no machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, but rather they complement each other. With regard to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, Ein Achinami, there's no difference between Yom and Laila. The Torah says, Limadetem Osam, and it doesn't make one bit of difference. As Yehoshua tells us, V'gisa b'yom v'alayla, whether he learns Torah by day or by night. So from the perspective of Talmud Torah pure, there's no difference, and you cannot say that one is superior to the other, and that's what Reish Lakish is addressing. Rabbi Yochanan is talking about some different dimension of Talmud Torah. He's not talking about Talmud Torah proper, classic, but rather about Rina Shel Torah. And Rabbi Yochanan doesn't argue with Reish Lakish. He agrees that Talmud Torah is both by day and by night. There's no difference from the perspective of Limanit HaMosom between day and night. The difference is only limited to the perspective of Rinas Torah, and that takes place at night. But now we have to ask ourselves the question, what is Rina Shel Torah? And what does Rabbi Yochanan mean when he says, Ein Rina Shel Torah Belayla? He doesn't say, Ein Talmud Torah Belayla. That for sure he would reject. So if Talmud Torah applies by day and by night equally, so what is Ein Rina Shel Torah Ela Belayla? The Torah commands us to learn Torah both by Yom and by Laila. What's Rina Shel Torah Belayla? So if you go back to the beginning of this halacha, halacha Yud Gimel, at the end of Perek Gimel, in the Rambam translates the phrase Rina Shel Torah into a different terminology. And he says, he sort of substitutes in place of Rina Shel Torah the words Rov Chachmasa. And that phrase, Rov Chachmasa, the Rambam identifies with Keser Torah. So we have a three-way equation here. We have A equals B equals C. Rina Shel Torah equals Rov Chachmasa, and Rov Chachmasa equals Keser Torah. What does this mean? So let's ask the following question, says the Rav. This is on the top of page 10. What is Rov Chachmasa? Are we talking in quantitative terms? Are we counting blot? You know, a person covered 1,000 blot in his life. So 501 of them is called Rov Chachmasa. For example, with regard to Kvod HaRav, there's halacha of Rabo Muvhak. And you have to give a special, the special mitzvah to give respect and honor to Rabo Muvhak. So who is Rabo Muvhak? The answer is, Shalomad Mimenu Rov Chachmasa. The Rambam says in the middle of the fifth parak of Talmud Torah, who is Rabo Muvhak? Shalomad Mimenu Rov Chachmasa. What is Rov Chachmasa? So the Rav says he doesn't believe for 1 minute that Rov Chachmaso should be translated in quantitative terms. But rather, the barometer is qualitative. We're not talking about how many blot. We're not making a mathematical or arithmetic calculation. How many blot did you learn from your Rebbe? And the Rav gets very personal here. He says, I had only one Rebbe Muvhak in my life. And that was my father. Keep in mind that he said this on the yard side of his father. He says, I have no doubt that I learned Rov Chachmasi from my father. And I have no doubt, says the Rov, that my Chiyuv Kavod to my father under two different categories, whether it's Betoris Av or Betoris Rav, meaning Rebbe Muvhak, is a very powerful Chiyuv Kavod. However, if I ask myself the question from a quantitative perspective, how many blot have I learned in my life, and how many blot did I learn from my father? And probably I would come to the conclusion, says the Rav, that on my own, I studied much more than what I studied together, b'chavruso, with my father. And nevertheless, despite that fact, I have no doubt that I have received from my father, Rov Chachmasi. Because what is Rov Chachmasa? Rov Chachmasa means Ikar Chachmasa. My father was the one who gave me the ability to stand on my feet. He gave me the keys to unlock the mysteries of the Torah. Torah Shebichsav, Torah Shebal Peh, to understand the Torah. He taught me the way. He shined the light in front of my feet. He gave me a methodology of how to understand the Torah and how to expand the understanding of the Torah. To study and to teach. Did I learn with my father 500 blot Gemara, maybe 600 blot Gemara? To tell you the truth, it doesn't make one iota of a difference. What is really the determining factor is the relationship between the Rebbe and the Talmud in terms of a methodology in terms of the ability to understand the Torah and the approach to appreciate its teachings. Even today, he says, when I learn Erevin, which I wasn't zoche to learn with my father, nevertheless, his image is there hovering over me, sort of like Yosef HaTzadik, who sees the image of Yaakov Avinu. It's the image of my father that guides me through that difficult and complex mesechta called the Erevin. It is clear as sunlight that the concept of Rov Chochmoso, or as the Rav calls it, Ikar Chochmoso, is what we call Lamdus. It's the only time, by the way, I ever saw or heard the Rav use that term. In the years that I was in the Shia, he never used the term Lamdus. But what is Lamdus? Lamdus means the Masa Umatan of Halacha. To understand the words of Chazal and the Rishonim, by the way, he says nothing about Achronim because that wasn't his thing, and to collect from them the pearls of wisdom and to understand their words. This is what a Rebbe Muvak is about. Therefore, in the next paragraph, since the Rambam identifies Rov Chochmoso with Kesed Torah, then we could understand that this ability to understand the Torah is one of the elements that make up Kesed Torah. He says, and I underline this, Ksha Torah nikletes bi adam umekadeshes also. When a person has the capability of grasping Torah ideas and wisdom, and it penetrates into his soul and elevates and sanctifies him, this Torah, mefitza or yikaros uposachas lefon of sharei bina, the Torah opens his mind by casting a very strong light and giving him the keys to open up the gates of wisdom. Not just knowledge, not just facts and figures, but to create. And we've discussed this in the past, the Rav, especially in Ish Halacha, Halachic Man, dedicates an entire chapter, entire section, to the Koach HaChidush, the significance of being creative in learning. And by the way, I don't know if the Rav means by creative in learning that you have to create new ideas that no one ever came up with. It means to understand the Torah in depth, to work very hard to try to see if you can shine a light on the sugya, put the different variables, the pieces of the puzzle together into one whole. And this development of the powers and the abilities is a result of Kesed Torah. He says, Hachtara b'Kesed Torah Dome l'Kesed Kohen Gadol Sheyotzkim Olav Shemen HaMishcha Al Rosho Val'Eino, from the outside, as you pointed out, Sheyiru Mashesomui Min HaAyin HaRegila V'sheyavinu Dvarim HaStumim LaAnoshim Pshutim. The Rav says that Kesed Torah means an endowment with the ability to peel off layers and layers of superficiality and plummet the depths of the Torah, to go down to the bottom of the sea and bring up pearls, to reveal that which is concealed to your average person. That's the Koach HaChidush of Torah Shebaal Peh. This is the great gift that God endowed man with, to have the ability, the opportunity to acquire Kesed Torah. This gift is given fundamentally to those who study Torah at night. Again, we're not talking about kamus. We're not talking about yedios. We're not talking about acquiring more and more facts and figures, knowledge that you could do by day. And the mitzvah Talmud Torah is equal both by day and night. But this particular dimension, says the Rav, of what he calls Kesed Torah, of the ability to have insights into the Torah, to delve into the depths of Torah and reveal chidushim, new ideas, that is unique, says the Rambam, at the end of Perek Gimel, to the Torah that you study at night. And the Rav expands on this in the next paragraph. He speaks about the skula of Torah at night. I mean, that's a difficult concept for a brisker. You know, at the bottom of Tesvav. It's a difficult concept to talk about skula. You know, skulas are usually given by Hasidisha Rebbes. Right? The Kabbalistic skulas. But here we have a halachic skula, which makes Limud Torah at night something very special. And again, we're not talking about the Kiyum Mitzvah of Limud Torah per se, but rather Avodah Shebelev. You remember that the Rav in this whole Yahrzeit Shiur dedicates his words to the concept of Avodah Shebelev. And Avodah Shebelev, says the Rav, is the entire gamut, the whole encompassing entity of Avodah Shebelev, of serving Hashem. You cannot say that from the perspective of Yigisa Bo, you have a Heder Mitzvah if you study at night. The Torah in V'Gisa Bo equates Yom and Laila, and the Chovas Limud is equal in both cases, day and night. But that Limud, that obligation to study both by day and night, is restricted, is limited to the amalgamation, to the concentration of acquiring knowledge of Torah. What he calls Yediyas HaTorah. And for example, v'limadetem osam u'shmartem lasosam. The more you know, the more you'll be able to observe them. And here, once again, there's no difference between day and night. However, with regard to, and here we're going to turn to page Tezayin and finish this up, Emir Tzashem. With regard to Limud Torah as an entity called Avodah Shebelev, under the mitzvah of Liavdo, of Deu B'Torah, so that was the Sifri that we started with. Here, the day is divided into two different halves, and the night is superior to the day. The night is dedicated to the Torah of Rina. Ein Rina Shel Torah B'Laila, says Rabbi Yochanan. The night is dedicated to Rov Chochmasa, which the Rav identifies with Lamdus, with the keys to understanding and revealing the Chidushim, the pearls of wisdom that lie at the bottom of the Torah. And that's Keser Torah, which means the sanctification of the Torah. When a person understands the Nishmas HaTorah, he goes beyond Yediyas HaTorah. And therefore the Rambam says, Afal Pisha Mitzvah Lilmod Bayom V'Laila. That's how the Rambam opens up Halacha Yud Gimel. The Rambam is already, Hodas Baldidi, admitting that certainly from the perspective of the Mitzvah of Yigis Bayom V'Laila, a person has to learn both by day and night, and they're equal. But nevertheless, Ein Adam Lo Meid Rov Chochmasa. A person cannot acquire Kisra Shel Torah, except Ha'evela B'Laila. That Sgula, that's inherent in Laila, is concentrated, is focused on the mitzvah, the kiyum of Avodah Shebelev through Talmud Torah. Kumi Roni B'Laila, Rina Shel Torah. What's Rina Shel Torah? It's the Avodah Shebelev. And you remember that the Rav had earlier quoted the pasuk of Laila Shira Imi. The Laila is specially designated, or how should I say, lends itself to Shira, to Shevach, to HaKadosh Baruch. Once again, to Avodas Hashem. Therefore, the Rambam left this halacha for Perek Gimel. He did not quote it in Perek Aleph, where he dedicates the Perek to the mitzvah of Yigisa Boyom of Halayla, to the strict mitzvah of studying Torah for the sake of acquiring Torah knowledge. Here, there's no point to mentioning some sort of superior nature inherent in studying Torah at night, because there is no special nature in night. It's only when he gets to Perek Gimel, after the Rambam has introduced Keser Torah, which means the ability to sanctify oneself through Torah, because of the special relationship to the Shekhinah, because this Torah now becomes the key to acquire a Kedushas HaTorah. Here the Rambam quotes the statement of Rabbi Yochanan that Ein Rina Shel Torah Ela B'Laila. This time period at night has a special connection to Avodas HaLev, to both Torah and Tefillah, to this all-encompassing mitzvah of being a servant of Hashem and being sanctified through His Torah. And therefore, the pasuk says in Tehillim, Shir Amalos, Hinei Baruch Hu Es Hashem Kol Ovdei Hashem Ha'omdim bebeis Hashem balelos. The Ovdei Hashem, those who really truly want to be servants of Hashem, they go into the Beis HaMedrash at night, and during the night, they somehow, through that beauty of Torah at night, the Rina, the Shira of Torah at night, they become true Ovdei Hashem in the full sense, and they're Zocha in Keser Torah.
You're done the whole year today, sir?